What up, my peoples? We've got our second episode done and was able to interview one of my favorites, DJ ID. Don't forget, you can access all episodes off my website as well as links to guest DJs' mixes at chicagodjfactory.com/podcast. As always, a special thank you to all the listeners out there. I encourage you to feel free and send in questions or comments that'll be announced on future podcasts. Again, you can do that right from the podcast page off my website. Also, if you're a DJ, beginner to pro, or even enthusiast, don't be shy. Hit me up so we could set up an interview and have you featured on a future podcast episode. Next up, we've got DJ ID.
Hello.
Yeah, brother, can you hear me good?
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, because I got you on speakerphone.
All right, that's what's up, man. All right, bro, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. So we got our guest right here, DJ ID. So real quick, man, it means a lot, you know, that you took the time to be on here. At the moment, you know, most of us got nothing but time, right? So why not, I guess, do this, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So before we get started, I'm going to ask you what I'm sure a lot of people are wondering is, what's the meaning of your DJ name, ID? Where does that come from?
Well, actually, that wasn't even my first name, bro. When I started, it was Demon. And that was off of Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, straight up. So was it just straight Demon or was it DJ Demon?
DJ Demon.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
And that was off of Blood In, Blood Out. And then off of Demon, I went into Echo, DJ Echo. But because that was when the brand was coming out, ECKO. But I did it ECHO. And
okay,
so then I rolled that way for a little bit, and then I found out somebody else had it, so I was like, man, I gotta change it. And me thinking of what name to come up with, and I couldn't really come up with nothing because I wanted a name that people could call me by that name instead of by my real name, you know. So,
right.
thinking of what name can I pick out, it's like I thought to myself, it's like I have no name, and I was like, oh shit, no ID. I was like, oh. There you go, ID.
All right, yeah, that's what's up. It's always interesting to hear you. I mean, some people might just have their DJ name with their first name in it or, you know, something obvious. And then some people have a name where it gets people thinking, right? So that's another cool thing about ID. It's like, and then some people are nervous to ask, right? Like, have you ever had anybody approach you like, yeah, I was just wondering, or I don't want to offend you, but what does that mean?
No. People put two and two together. It's like, so ID, you don't have no ID, or what is it? What is, you know, somebody broke it down. Somebody, like, I forgot, it was a drunk night. We did Suave was DJing at a House of Blues with Too Big. And, we straight up fucking ran out to the fucking VIP section, and we just started raiding the whole fridge. And one of his guys is like, so ID, do you know what your name means? And he started getting all, psychology and all that shit. I was like, yeah, I guess, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I thought was kind of funny right now, you were telling me, because, you know, you started out as DJ Demon, then you went to DJ Echo, and then, so I kind of started out the same way. Like, I'm like, man, you know, I gotta have a cool DJ name, right? And then, but I didn't want it to be something common, but I didn't want it to be too weird. And so I went through a couple. I think when I first started, I went with like DJ Flash, because I was kind of like the Flash, just fast at doing things. And so I thought that was cool. But then I heard there was another DJ Flash, and that seemed too common, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I wanted to do something maybe silly. And I was like, you know what? Let me be silly. It might be cool. And so I was calling myself DJ Fluffy for a while, man. Yeah. You know, because then people are like, what's this about? Like, why is this grown man calling himself Fluffy? So I thought that could, you know, get some attention.
Way before the comedian?
Yeah, dude, way before that. Because we talking early 2000s, you know? And so then I just ended up going with DJ Double E, because my first name begins with the letter E, and so does my middle name.
Okay, yeah.
So then I'm like, it's just easy that way. And some people like E for like ecstasy. And I'm like, well, nah, man, but do you got any? No, I'm just kidding.
You should have gone with E squared.
Yeah, right. You know, something like that, or you know, like you said, you can always break it down. So I could be like DJ Double E or E Square. I like that actually, E Square. So thank you. I might mess with that a little bit.
Yeah, bro, because I didn't want people calling me by my real name. Fuck that. Call me by my DJ name.
Yeah, you know, I never was too fond of Eric, but most people call me E, or a lot of white people, my white friends, they just call me by my last name, Molina. Hey,
Yeah.
Molina. So, you know, we good like that. So let me ask you this, ID, how did you get into DJing or like music? What was your like DJ moment where you're like, oh, this is it for me?
No, I never think I really had one, bro. Just music. Music, it was just like it was like a lifestyle, I guess. You know, my dad, he plays guitar and he was always be jamming, and I was always like the like it's the when we had parties here at the crib, I would always just because I knew what type of songs that would light up the crowd to get them dancing. I keep with my family, so I would just get behind, you know, behind the stereo, and I would just load up those tape decks, and I would put a song that I knew would get them on to start dancing, and just like that's how it started.
That's what's up. That's cool. So I can relate in a similar way growing up, always having family parties. But at least for me, I, you know, hearing that kind of music, Spanish music, you know, I it didn't click with me with DJing, but I remember it was my stepdad always you know, playing around with different kinds of music to keep people dancing. But now that I think of it, I don't know if necessarily it was the music or just everybody was drunk, you know. But that's kind of how
Yeah,
it's just interesting to hear, you know, what was the moment where people kind of got into it, you know?
right, exactly. I mean, I didn't set out to be a DJ. It went hand in hand, you know. I just love music so much.
And so with that though, and of course it evolved through the course of time, you know, you said the tape decks. When was it that you got your first piece of DJ equipment, or you know what? Let's rewind a little bit. What was your first experience with DJ equip with actual DJ
Actually,
equipment?
bro, I grew up with B96, right? B96 Mixmasters, and I had no idea, bro, that they would record off turntables. I had no idea at the time. And one of my guys, Misa, he introduced me to one of his friends. What was his name? DJ Red, if I can remember correctly. So we go to his house, to Misa's house, and DJ Red, he's right there on Techniques. And I was like, "Yo, what's this?" He's like, "Well, this is how they mix." And I was like, "Oh, crap, for real? I didn't know that." Turntables. So I didn't know that. So that then so once he once once I saw the turntables, and that's how the whole process concept was, I was like, "Oh, okay, now this is what I want to do."
So you saw, right, because so when you were saying coming up with the tape decks and messing around with that,
Yeah.
there's a level of difficulty, but like in your mind, you already have like an arrangement
See, yeah,
of the
exactly.
songs or like the way you want the music. And then when you've seen it on turntables, you're like, whoa, this is a game changer, right? Like now I can actually execute my visions of what I'm hearing in my head.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, that's really cool. And I can relate to a degree. I came across like house music by random. I had one of those alarm clock radios, and same thing. It wasn't B96 at the time, but it was WBMX. But around that time, B96 was also playing, you know, the house mixes, you know, after 10 on, you know, Fridays or Saturdays or whatever it was. And when I heard the sound, like the old Chicago house, I was like, what is this? And then I probably was like 10, and I'm like, man, whatever this sound is, I love it. And I didn't know what it was. Like you said, I didn't know they were doing anything on turntables. I just heard this sound, the house music, and I would stay up late and record, and then just listen to them. And then as time evolved, I would hear the same songs, obviously, but by different DJs. And then in your mind, you'll hear a song, and then you already know, I probably would follow it up with this song. And then sure enough, whatever DJ you're listening to plays the song that you were suggesting in your head that should be played next. So that's cool. You know, other guy interviewed, Brenes was the kind of the same way. He was a kid, stumbled upon his uncle's equipment, who also was a DJ and kind of went from there. So So I guess the first kind of music that you were introduced to was Spanish music, right? You said your dad was a musician, so that's the kind of music you were kind of messing around with to begin with,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
So from there, from the Spanish music, you said, you got into B96 stuff. Was that just kind of gradual too? As a kid, you just remember always hearing B96 and that stuff grew on you, or did you like see a DJ on TV, or you heard a mixtape from a friend,
Nope.
or what was it that?
No, not really, bro. Like growing up, we would listen to B96 and we would like go into my dad's van and just jam out to the radio, whatever it was, like that 90s dance music. But we would frequent like flea markets a lot, and I didn't like I would like those stands that would sell house tapes. For some reason, like it was like they were calling me. That sound was calling me, and I didn't have money at the time, and I would just tell my dad, "Hey man, can you just buy whatever, just random tape?" I would just pick out, and I was like, "Cool, let me get this tape," and I would just jam the hell out of that with my headphones.
And so that was just like the straight house music at the time, or
No,
was there like, did you go and get
it was
techno
bleeding.
and
No, no, it
freestyle
was
and all
bleeding
that?
into our house.
Okay, hard house. Okay, yeah, I wanted to differentiate with
Yeah.
that because there's all different kinds of levels, and even I myself am confused sometimes. So I always like to ask because everybody has a different interpretation. I'll go to somebody and be like, "Oh yeah, classics." And they might think of something weird when I'm talking about like, Lime,
See.
Debby Deb, like that's classics to me versus 90s
Right.
house. So it gets kind of diluted, but nonetheless, it kind of comes from the same like roots, right? Or like the base.
Yeah.
So the hard house, who, so with hard house, what were your first DJs or first favorite DJs that you're like, "Man, this is, I like this hard house guy," or just the type of house that you
Yeah, it took
like?
me a while to figure out who I liked, bro. No lie, it took me a while. I was just riding the wave, and once I started putting two and two together, and I was like, okay, cool, I like this sound. And you start paying more attention to the artists instead of just hearing a sound. You start digging and digging and digging. Well, who made this? Well, who made that? Oh, well, I want to know more about this track. It came out to be Alex and Bam Bam, bro.
Alex and Bam
Alex Peace
Bam.
and DJ Bam Bam from UC Music.
And then with those guys, was the extent only that you got to just kind of follow their music and or did you ever have an opportunity to at least meet
No.
them, see
No,
them live or anything like that?
because I think they were pushing the movement. They were the leaders in the movement of the Hard House. Chicago
Okay.
Hard House at the time. You had Kevin Hallstedt, DJ Irene, Angela Lannis, all these guys pushing it. But Alex Peace and Bam Bam had their own unique sounds. I mean, you got Mark B and Poogie Bear. Nobody can top them. But I mean, for me personally, I loved Alex Peace and Bam Bam. They were the 420 brothers.
And so with them, starting that movement, were they doing a lot of their own producing and making like their own beats with sampling, or were they just kind of mixing
No,
everybody else's
no, bro.
music?
They were pioneers. They were pioneers in the movement of hard house. In Chicago hard house, they're pioneers. Along on top of Mark B and Poogie Bear. Mark B and Poogie Bear is like they're on top of everybody. But then I say Alex Peace and Bam Bam come back.
So when that movement was hot and heavy for you, what clubs did you
We
used to frequent?
I was young at the time. I think I had been like 17, 16, bro. I went to one where Suave was DJing at. It was called Playground.
That's in
No,
Aurora,
this was
right?
here in Elgin, the Playground.
The playground. Okay, maybe that's was this back probably in like the mid to late
Yeah.
90s?
Yeah, mid
Oh.
90s, yeah.
Okay, I think I remember that place. There were so many of them. So that was like the main spot for you guys at that
Yeah,
time.
bro. I got to see Al. No, well, I don't know if I saw Alex. I don't think I saw Alex. I saw Kevin Hallstedt. Rest in peace, Kevin Hallstedt. I saw him DJ there, and this guy had so much of a wicked scratch, bro, that I had to go behind because you could go behind the DJ booth and you can see what's going on. I had to go behind and had to see what he was doing. This guy was scratching without using the fader, bro. That's how crazy it was.
So at that time, when were you pretty accomplished at
No,
scratching
not
yourself?
even.
Now, that's something that at least I myself as a DJ has always struggled with, you know. And I'll ask Suave sometimes, and he's like, "Man, it's just something I can't teach." Was that how hard was that for you? Was it something you picked up, or
No,
did you
bro,
really have to like work at it every day, every
no,
day,
no.
every day? And
What he told you, it's true, because I know Swap is gonna hear this, bro. And when I asked him, I told him, bro, teach me how to scratch. And what he told you, he told me, bro, all he did was a couple movements. He's like, just go like this, boom, 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 and that's that. That's all he did, bro. I came home and I memorized what he was teaching me, but then it's that you start making it your own, and that's what I did. I made it my own.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. And kind of related to that, you know, when I first started out, you know, it's like I knew I wanted a DJ, but I was like, where am I going to learn? I didn't have any DJ buddies right at that time. It was just me, you know, the suburb kid, and you know, wanting a DJ. And so I kind of had to teach myself a little bit, but I develop certain techniques that maybe other DJs, you know, had a way that looked at me like, well, this guy's kind of weird. But at the end, the end product, you know, what you heard sounded good, or the blends were nice, or the song selections, you know, were right on point, to where I was like, whatever this guy's doing sounds good. You know, it's but I think every DJ has their own weird, unique kind of
Yeah,
techniques,
that's what
right?
makes everybody different,
So now, coming up on vinyl, you know, apart from scratching, what would you say was like the hardest thing for you to like get down? And once you got that part, like you were set, like you could probably, you know, mix any kind of music or work with any kind of equipment.
What was hard? No.
Or the thing that was that once you learned this aspect, you were like, oh, I got this now, you know.
Not, I mean, you know what, bro? No, I mean, once I got it, really, bro. I never really, no, nothing. I just got it, I got it.
And then
Not to
when
sound
you,
cocky, I mean, I don't know if that sounds cocky, but I know I had it.
no, but you know what too? I mean, you have to have a certain level of
Or
cockiness
confidence,
to a
you know?
degree. Yeah, exactly. You know, but then it's another thing too to be a jerk, because I've talked to some, you know, I always try to, if I see a DJ, you know, I want to go on and see what he's working with, and if he's good, give him a compliment. Hey, man, you were awesome tonight, or whatever. But some guys are just, yeah, man, they're rude, or I don't know, maybe their hamster died that morning, and so they're just having a bad day, you know. So, right now, what's your preferred type of equipment to work with? Do you like sticking with vinyls, controllers, CDJs? What's your preferred method?
The since I don't have any equipment at all, bro, like believe it or not, I don't have anything. But I'll go jam with Suave, and whatever he has, I'll adjust to it, and that's that.
I always thought that was interesting, you know, in the beginning of like my career. You know, I've worked with a variety of equipment, never too much vinyl. I've tried, but I was just never able to get the hang of it. But whether it was, you know,
Yeah.
CDJs, controllers, you know, I managed same thing, because I'd work with virtual DJs a couple times with Trektor, and you know, even Serato. And yeah, right, you kind of adjust. But now I'd say like the last 2 years that I've been set with a certain kind of controller and interface. Like now I'm a little spoiled to where if I'm working with someone else's equipment, I can get it, but it doesn't feel like, you know how you can drive your own car, but when you get in someone else's car, you still know how to drive, but it's just kind of
Yeah,
weird.
but
Yeah, you know, they're like, you gotta pump the brake five times and don't stop. Yeah,
yeah.
right.
But I think with the whole mixing and DJ equipment, I think the whole I mean at the end of the day, the whole concept comes down to the same thing. Just get mix. You
Yeah,
gotta mix. You gotta
how
mix.
does this
You gotta
sound
mix.
coming
That's
out,
it.
right?
As long as you got your pitch, that's it.
There you go. See that? And I know I've only ran into a couple guys where they're like, if you know, never touch vinyl, you're not a real
Yeah.
DJ. Or
Right.
if I mean, there's some super fakes out there, you know, with like off an app, I get it. But like you said, at the end of the day, man, you can have the fanciest of equipment, but you can't just get two songs and just lay them over each other and it's going to sound good. I mean, you got to have a skill of some degree.
And it is a skill, really, because anybody can just put two and two tracks together, but how are you going to bring them in? How are you going to make it sound good?
Right. Exactly. And I don't know about you, but I myself always had a hard time. Once I was, I'd say, a solidified DJ going to a club, because all you're doing is critiquing the DJ that's playing, right? It's like you're listening to everything, and you can catch what most people won't even notice is a mistake. I'd be like, oh man, he done messed up, but he came back from that pretty good. And like, that's all you do is pick them apart,
Yeah,
right?
I hear you.
So next here, we'll move on to some other questions that I got. I mean, we got some good stuff, so far, so I'm glad. From being a DJ so far in all these years, has there anybody that you've actually worked with, side by side, that's kind of known or famous, whether it be local or on a national level? And
Well, no, aside from Suave, I mean, I got to meet Bam Bam. I got to meet Alex Peace. I got to meet Angel and Alanis, Hard House Days. I got to meet them, but I never worked with them.
so when you meet like those guys, that obviously you looked up to, was it just
Yeah,
kind of hanging out, or did you like pick their
no,
brains and
we were just
start
hanging
asking
out in the
questions?
VIP, just having beers.
Ah, okay. So I mean, that's just as good. I mean, I'd take that all day if I could, be in a room with a couple of my favorite DJs, or the
Yeah,
ones that
exactly.
inspired me. Just having a beer, I'd be satisfied, but I'd have so many questions. But at the same time, you have this idea of what you would want to say, and now your mind's gone blank. You're just living
Yeah,
in the moment.
when I met Bam Bam, he had left Hard House. He moved on to techno, and I told him, I was like, "Hey man, I'm working on this mix, and it's gonna have a couple of your tracks. Do you mind if I use your tracks?" He's like, "Go for it, bro. I don't care."
So that's one thing I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. Is, I mean, I've heard a couple of some remixes that you've done, but as far as producing, I understand that's like a big thing for you. So apart from DJing, I mean, you have
Yeah.
done quite a bit of producing, and from what I've heard, it's
Yeah.
pretty on point, man. I'm
Thank
like,
you. No
wow.
school, no nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way. So is that something that you still
Yeah.
do quite a bit, or do you just kind of just work
No,
with some of your older
I
stuff?
still do them from time to time, you know.
Do you have anybody that ever comes out to you asking you to do, a specific work
Actually,
for them?
I did a remix. They never asked me for it, but at the time I was just cranking out so many remixes, so many juke remixes at the time. I did one for Isaac and Danny. They were reggaetoneros from here in Elgin. I don't know if you ever heard of
Isaac and Danny, nah, but I'll have to look into that. I'm gonna put that in my notes
them.
right
So
here.
I made the unofficial remix for You're a Jerk. So they came out with their own version of You're a Jerk. And like I said, at the time I was just cranking out these remixes, and I was like, well, let me see if I can, work with this one. And I did it like in a day, and I sent it to their DJ, Boy Genius. You heard of Boy Genius? So I sent it to Boy Genius, and
Yeah.
Boy Genius loved it so much that he literally like put it up right then and there. I was like, whoa, man. He's like, I just sent it for you to hear it. Like, he just like literally just put it out there.
That's what's up. I'm sure like that was a really good feeling, right? When you got somebody like
Yeah.
that
He
just,
posted up on his blog and everything, bro.
rolling with your work. So like that, I'm sure it's an amazing feeling, right? Does that like
Oh
drive
yeah,
you to want to like
besides
do
that,
more?
besides before that, bro, my tracks were being played at clubs. Like I would just like DJs that I know, and I'll be like, "Hey, play my remix, play my all right, for sure," and it was just it's an awesome feeling when they're playing your tracks.
Yeah, that's something that I mean, I'm probably far from, but I've always, you hear a way, an arrangement of sounds and samples that you want. And for me, it's translating it from my brain, actually on into music. So that's something that, maybe at some point, once the world, if it ever goes back to normal, you and I can work together,
Yeah.
that'd be dope. And then I mean, I'm sure you have a bunch of music. Do you offer it up to people if they want to download your remixes? Do you have the stuff for sale, or you're not even there yet, but maybe we can work something out and put some of your samples on my website, or if you even want to sell tracks, or something to that
I'm
effect.
open for anything really right now. That's my main thing, to go into like I don't want to DJ anymore. I just want to be behind the scenes. I want to produce now.
See, and that's another great thing. I touched base with Brenes on one of the things that I'd like to get out of this podcast, other than just allowing DJs to give their different DJs their views on the business and the craft and everything, is Brenes mentioned a mix, a freestyle mix that Suave did that I guess was being sold, and he didn't even know it was being sold. And I'm like, "Do you have this mix still?" And he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Does Suave have it?" So one of the things is, being able to reconnect with older lives to music, and then in this capacity too, is also to encourage DJs and other avenues of the craft. So then, like right now, you're trying to get more into producing, so
Speaking
we
about
can do a
mixes,
lot of
brother, sorry to
cross
cut you
promote.
off. Speaking about mixes, Suave, and I know he's gonna hear this. I never heard it from his mouth, but Too Big, DJ Too Big wanted to buy one of my reggaeton mixes that I had put out way back, and it's got such a badass intro that he wanted to buy it off me. Yeah,
Oh,
and I
that's
still
what's
have it to
up.
this day. I never really sold it. It's just like I just gave it to my boys.
Well, that's what's up. We'll have to get a plug on that. I'd love to hear that. And it's always cool to get these kind of stories behind the scenes. Brennus had a had a had a couple interesting points working with DJ Eddie B House, who was, one of the DJs I grew up buying his mixtapes.
Exactly.
So now let me ask you this. Knowing that were into the hard house and all that, I mean, what capacities have you DJed? I mean, of course, some clubs, festivals, bars. Have you done weddings, or just kind of all the above?
Not weddings. I've done.
So not so much those kinds of events. Yeah,
It's not
it's
for
a whole
me.
different thing, It's not for a lot of people, but the checks are nice. You know what I'm saying? What's your preferred method? Like, what if you had a platform to be able to DJ and have people hear your music? How would you want that to be? Through, by way of doing house parties, or actually like a festival type platform, or in some kind of
I say
nightclub?
festivals. I've done house parties and I've done
Yeah.
nightclubs too.
So yeah, a festival, I guess just something to change it up, and if you haven't done it before. So going along with that, would you be able to kind of maybe describe to me like the perfect setting or moment that like you dream of as a DJ, like whether it be being in front of a big crowd, or like we were just talking about headlining a festival? Like, what's your like dream moment of a DJ, or something that you'd always
It's
wanted to do?
play one of my tracks and let it ride out, and once the beat drops, just come off from the DJ booth and just go with the crowd, just jam with them.
Yeah, kind of
Yeah.
like a Steve
And
Aoki,
just
huh?
jam
Throw
out there
some
with
cake
them,
at people. Yeah, so with that being said, what's I read a lot of stuff, and I'll hear things from different people about those kinds of DJs where they do a lot of producing. They obviously can mix and blend, but when they do these live shows, they'll get out from behind the table for X amount of minutes. It almost seems like if they're not DJing, but obviously that's not the case, right? Okay. I mean, do you know of anything where DJs a lot of times may play a pre-recorded set and just act like they're DJing, they're at a
No,
club or something like that?
not really. I mean, if it sounds good, roll with it.
Well, I mean, I could see if it's something that you pre-recorded, it's already something that you mix, so it's not like it's not you doing it. And then maybe for a live event, you're not feeling it or maybe nervous and don't want to make any mistakes. Why not? So, you know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but I just kind of heard, you know, people hate on other DJs who do that, but I guess it depends on the capacity. Or if you're going around telling people, hey, I'm
Right.
DJing live, and then you're really not,
Right,
maybe that's where the problem is, you know. So right now, you know, we're getting down to the last few minutes. Tell me, right now, your top three hot tracks. Like, if you were gonna start a set off right now, what three tracks would you pop off with? They don't have to be in
or no
any
general.
particular order. Yeah,
I would
whatever's
say
hot on your
reggaeton.
playlist
Reggaeton is
right
my
now.
number one love, man.
All right, so we go
Would
reggaeton.
say
What's the
right
first
now,
song that you're
La
hitting? What's
Zafaera,
hot right
Yoli
now?
Randy, Bad Bunny, Ñengo Flow.
Yeah, I heard that one not too long ago. That one's hot. What's your next hot song
What's
that
the
you
next
follow up with
one?
that?
Man, dude. That for the top of my dome. I would have to look into my phone right now and go through the because everything is on my phone right now.
You know, I always get, you know, people when I put them on the spot, like they're like, you know, you could probably name 50, but whenever you're on the spot, it's just hard to come up. But so that's enough though. We got it. You want your reggaeton's high right now. You know, I never would used to be a fan. I used to hate reggaeton so much. I just hated it. And it wasn't for me, but it grew on me. And I just kind of learned more about it and gave it a chance. And now, man, dude, it's amazing. Even with the newer guys coming out, you know, it's pretty good. So I like checking out anybody's stuff when it comes out. I'm all over it. So next thing really quick. Is there any particular thing that you may dislike about not any DJ in particular, but maybe a habit that DJs do or something that maybe bad DJs do? Is there something
Not
that
really.
maybe
I
rubs you the
mean,
wrong way?
I'm on my lane, they're on their lane, really.
That's what's up. That makes sense, right? You know, you just stay focused. You do you, right? That's what everybody says. You do you. You know, some people have, you know, I don't like DJs that, you know, loop or use too much sound effects. But again, it goes back to, hey, if it sounds good coming out, the end product, then hey, roll with it, right? Just like you said. So last thing before we close it out here, man, what do you think was the hardest thing for you to overcome, you know, as a DJ, whether it be just a fear of performing in front of people or, you know, you have awesome bedroom mixes, but once you're out, you know, if you're being recorded or just in front of a crowd, you know, you freeze or what have you. I mean, what was there any
Yeah,
obstacle
to get my
that you
turntables.
struggled with for
Cause
through the course of
that, yeah, cause the funny story, but
Yeah, right?
when I bought my tables, I only bought one, and it was a Technique, and I could never even jam to it. I had to go to my guy's house, to Miss Al's house, to hear it, to hear records.
Okay, so getting records,
No, I bought. I no, I
he
would
had
buy
them.
him, and I
You
would go to his
buy
house, and I would
even.
be like, "Hey, bro, play me this record. Hey, bro, play me this record. Play." And I would just go to his house and hear him till I got my tables.
Wow, man. Yeah, see, I love hearing these kinds of stories in the struggles and the effort. You know, some people might just quit right away because they didn't get the hang of it. You know, I know when I started out, man, my stuff was just terrible, man. I would record my mixes and listen to them, and I'm just like, dude, I'm gonna get laughed at, and this isn't working. But you know, I just kept at it, man. You know, it took a while, just like anybody else. So, before we close out here, what advice would you give out there to younger up
If
and
they want to
coming
start DJing,
DJs?
go for it.
Yeah.
Why not? Go for it. Why not?
No, just go
You know,
for it. Just
if
go
you feel like
for
that's something for you, then go for it. If it's not, it's not, you know.
Man, dude. So I got this link that you sent me for a mix you put on SoundCloud. I listened to it, dude. It was
Yes,
dope.
sir.
And you said that was like 10 years ago. So maybe after all this, you'll be motivated to maybe get some new material out there, and you know, we everybody who listens to this and will listen to that mix, you know, we'll have something else to look forward to.
I got a new one coming out. Reggaeton mix. It's done. It's done, and I'm just waiting to upload it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Once you do that, send me the link, and then not only will we promote it in the podcast and on the website, but you know, we'll be excited to hear that, man. Like I said, you know, I'm really
I'm looking at more juke remixes right now.
So we got juke remixes, reggaeton. See that all this new stuff coming out, man. I'm really excited.
I do it for fun, so, man, and that's what it is, for fun, love of the music. That's it.
You know, I tell that to everybody. First and foremost, it's fun for me. It's a way to relieve stress. It's something that makes me happy. You know, I could be having a bad day, and I'll just, you know, get on the decks, and everything is just for that moment, like not even in sight, and I'm just feeling the vibe, feeling the bait. Oh, there's nothing better even too when you can just turn it up loud, and kind of get lost.
Right, bro. It got to the point that when I started, I wouldn't even eat. I would just come home from work or school. I wouldn't even eat. I would just practice.
And you know what? You know, I do a lot of gigs for pay, and I turn down a lot of work, believe it or not. Not because I got a big head or anything, but I'm careful to have a balance to where it's not a chore or something that I dread doing, because I don't want it to lose fun for me. It's fun, and it's my hobby. You know, I can make money doing it, which it helps pay the bills, but I'm very careful to not allow it to get to a point where, like, I don't even want to look at my decks anymore because I'm just so tired of it. So I maintain a healthy balance, and it's good to, you know, hear you say that, you know, you do it for fun, and even that you're generous with your productions. You know, you let other DJs use it, and you know, you're not, you know, being all tight with your music. So that's really encouraging.
Slava will get all the exclusives. If he's here right now, like, as soon as I would do one, like, literally, bro, remixes, I would do them like in a day or two, and then I'll be like, hey, Suave, I got another one. Hey, Suave, I got another one. I want you to play. Hey, Suave, I got another one. Boom, boom, boom.
I think I got a couple of yours, and I think once I used it in a short mix, and it could have been your remix, and I gave him credit because I put in the comments a credit to my boy Suave for this remix, because I don't want people to think that I'm trying to use someone else's remix as my own. You know what I'm saying? I'm just using that remix in an arrangement with other songs. So, you know, that's that. Well, all right, ID, man. You know, we went a little bit over time, but I was having a blast, man. Huh? Oh, I know. I'm telling you. Well, you know what the point is right now? You know, we all got it. We're all in lockdown and quarantine. So, you know, we got to do this interview, you know, through other ways. But at some point, we're going to be able to sit down with other DJs together, kind of like a breakfast club round table where, you know, we just kind of shoot the breeze and you know, let the conversation just kind of go where it goes, and have more fun, you know, talk a little bit more BS even, you know how that goes.
I forgot to tell you how I about like my first turntable.
What's up?
I had to go to the hood, bro.
How'd you do that?
No,
would you do sell
I had to go buy it in the hood, and I had to go walking too, and I only bought one, and I had to come back walking
with one. Good thing you didn't get
a technique
jump, huh?
1200
rob you for a turntable.
I think it was
so.
Would
you pay for that? What'd that cost you at that time?
Yeah,
that's not bad.
No, not anymore.
Right now.
And we forgot to talk about how I used to rock the clubs over here in Elgin. Remember?
You know, so I wanted to get I was looking for a picture for you on your SoundCloud, on your profile, just so that I could post something on the website after the interview. There's not much, but I think
I think I seen this one story that I used to DJ out here. It's the Marlene's. It's called Marlene's out here in Elgin, downtown Elgin. Okay, I linked up with that club, and the guy that would do the time sets always had me in the basement abajo con more people, you know, obviously. But I wanted the time slots on the main stage, and he would never give me main stage. I was like, bro, give me main stage. You know what I can deliver? He's like, yeah, well, you know, we got all this big, like Bobby D, some other people coming over. You know, we can't really. All right, cool, cool, cool. So he kept me in the basement on the lower floor. So me, I was just doing my set, bro. And out of nowhere, I took all the crowd, bro. He came downstairs, and he's like, at the time I was Echo, and he's like, fucking Echo, you took all the fucking crowd. I was like, well, what the fuck do you want me to do? This is what I do. That's why I kept telling you, give me main stage.
It's funny how those things work out where you have to cause a big scene like that. Obviously, in the right way, it's not like people were rioting, but I mean, you were just throwing down so good to the point where they left the main like, stage the to come down here, to see what was up. So, you know, I see that all the time. Well, not I don't go to clubs like I used to at all, but you know, you'd be surprised on that upstairs DJ or the basement DJ. You know, they're getting it versus you know, it's just a name on the main stage, right? It's
we're hungry, bro.
There you go. That's so true. That's so true. You know, that hunger, I mean, it'll either catapult you or, you know, you don't capitalize.
Right, exactly. And I was hungry. And I kept telling him, bro, put me on main stage. I know what I can deliver, you know? And so that's what he gets.
So if you got any videos, pictures, other kind of samples, send me that stuff. I'll put that one link on my website. It should be on there in the morning. But anything else that you can kind of send my way so that I could feature you on there. And then hopefully even through that, you'll see some plays on your on that SoundCloud. I know one of my guys, Ozzy, had mentioned I showed him a sample of your mix. I'm like, it's only a sample. And he was like, dude, I can't wait to hear the whole thing. So I told him it'll be posted after this interview. Yeah, dude. So again, man, thanks. Thanks, ID, bro, for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. You be safe out there, bro. And then we'll get up soon. All right, man. That's it, man. Thanks for coming on inside the DJ studio, bro. You have a good night.
Yeah.
What a great interview that was. It was very interesting to see the differences in style and history between my first guest, DJ Brenes, and DJ ID. Again, that is one of my goals with this podcast, is to welcome outsiders and give them not only an inside look at DJing, but also from multiple platforms. So stay tuned, looking to drop another episode in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Don't forget, you can check out all the guest DJs' mixes off my website, at chicagodjfactory.com/podcast. Thank you all and stay safe.